This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello friends, welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. My name is John Payne. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be joined by Craig Turner. Today is March 21st. As always, back together to kind of discuss the commodity markets and the way we're seeing things over here at Daniels Trading. So, before I bring Craig on, just a quick update of where we are compared to where we were when we did this report 2 weeks ago. So it was post-WASD, I think on the Wednesday the 9th, and since that day, we got wheat up 5 cents, soybeans up 20 cents, corn up 10 cents, crude oil up $4, the S&P up 70 handles, and the dollar then counter down 2 handles. So to get this take on it all, we'll bring in Turner himself. Craig, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, we're seeing, I think first taking a look at the corn market here, you said we're up 10 cents since that last yes. WASD. Mm-hmm. And it looks like May corn's hitting some resistance here at 370. I've noticed a lot of traders coming and looking to sell when we get there. I know...
Worked the last time.
Yeah, it worked the last time, and we'll see what happens now. You know, the thing is, if we do break through there, you know, we could go to, I guess, 378, 380 in the mm-hmm. in old crop would be resistance. There's a lot more interest with farmers on new crop. You know, we get up to that 385, 390 level. I know that's been a sell zone for a lot of analysts and you know, some of the gurus out there that do marketing. You can make the case that 395 would be a very strong resistance for new crop corn. So we'll see. I mean, the lows back in February were about 374. I mean, we mm-hmm. have like a 15-cent range. Yeah, new crop. So we just have like a 15-cent range. It's amazing that, you know, you can have these major reports, a WASD report and a tensions report coming up for planting, and, you know, we're talking 15, 20 cents between the highs and lows, but that's the reality of corn right now.
Yeah. Now, we have seen volatility pick up a little bit. If you're an options trader, you might have noticed things perked up there on the last push above these levels. So, you know, it could be maybe the market's bracing for a little bit of move. I think that has maybe a little more seasonality to it in the fact that, you know, the big fund money is short technically mm-hmm. because they're trading off the charts and they're seeing the momentum to the downside and they're looking at that big fundamental picture coming out of the market. But from a couple of guys we speak with in the insiders, they're saying that they think that some of these bigger players might be going out and buying older crop or new crop calls just as a way to protect themselves from, you know, any production risk that might exist out there. We're getting to that time period in the U.S. market where, you know, we're gonna have something more to talk about than exports and you know, USDA outlooks on things. We'll actually talk about grain fundamentals. So, you know, we'll see if we can get some follow through. We have a big report out next. Was it the 31st? The 30th?
31st.
31st. That'd be Thursday, an 11 a.m. report on Thursday. And this is one of the bigger ones of the year, planning intentions. So we'll get the kind of official number that the USDA will start with after, of course, the Ag Forum. And then we'll also get grain stocks as well. So we'll have kind of an old. You know, picture adjustment as well as a new picture adjustment. And in 2010, I think that was the number where we saw that 300 million bushels disappear. So I don't think the USDA will be up to those kind of tricks again, but it wouldn't be against me to see a shock move one way or the other. So that might be why the volatility has picked up in recent days.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, you know, we've had some delay, and I know there have been delays down south mm-hmm. with corn planting. Yep. You know, I think I was talking to a farmer down in Georgia, and he was saying the optimal date for planting was March 15th, And, you know, March and 15th came and went, and they didn't get all their corn in, and now they're kind of concerned about how yields down south might deteriorate the longer they wait. So I think that originally put a little bit of a pop in the market. I mean, maybe a couple cents here and there. But you're right. We're getting into planting for the rest of the Midwest soon, and you know, that's a time, you know, planting intention. You know, planting can be a time where risk premiums built into the market, just like how in June, you know, we'll, you know, if it's hot and dry, we'll see premium built into the corn market too. So we're entering one of those periods. What's interesting is the 200-day moving average for December corn, I think, is right around 388. So, you know, we're not that far off from it. I think we closed right below it.
Yeah, 377. Yeah, it's a good thing to watch out for. Yeah. If you follow Craig's newsletter, you know, it touches on that stuff. It, you know, those moving averages sometimes sneak up on us. I know they do for myself. All of a sudden, you're at a level that you're not paying attention to, and the rest of the trade is. So that 200 days is important. I think that's more of a trendsetter longer term. So we need to see if we do get through it, and kind of what the reaction is of the market on the upside if we do. I don't think a lot of the trade is prepared for anything to trade higher. So
yeah,
I would be shocked to see a little exacerbated move or knee jerk, maybe pushing that new crop above $4. On the initial surge over the moving average, if it would happen.
Right, because a lot of funds, you know, a lot of the big funds will use the 200-day moving average for like a trend, a direction and trend, and that could cause short covering and new positions. So, yeah, definitely, you know, it's the time of year, you know, if we get anything serious with weather and planting delays, that it could that could affect that. Soybeans. Now, you said soybeans are up 20 since the WASDE report, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and you know, we did have some. You know, part of that was post WASDE rally. Part of it was also from what was going on in Brazil with the real, which was weakening, right? No, it was getting stronger,
and then
stronger, and that was helpful for soybean prices in the United States. That's a wild card.
I mean, you know, you and I, we sit and look at this stuff all day as far as numbers go and how much we're planting and how much we're gonna grow. But the value that carryout holds really depends on what the U.S. dollar is doing. And since the Fed meeting a couple of days ago, we've seen the real really kick into gear. We're back below 4-1, which a lot of folks think might be a near-term high for the real. And if we could retrace the other way, I don't think the trade is really prepared for what could come from that. So, again, you know, I think both of us are seeing a lot of selling on these new crop levels as we approach 920, 930. But, you know, longer term, if we don't know what the value of the crop is worth, you could see shorts run here. So I'd be very, very careful, you know, entering a ton of heavy leverage short positions in soybeans, because so far it really feels like with the dryness, we're probably going to plant a lot of corn acres, maybe leave some beans behind. And, you know, that could adjust the carryout a little bit. I don't know if you've seen anything there.
No, it could. The thing is, like, there's a lot of premium already built into the soybean market. I mean, but the thing is, though, like, I think the reason why soybeans deserves to get more risk premium is if you do, there's only two places that really produce, you know, soybeans. You know, it's the United States and South America, and, you know, in terms of regions. And, you know, if you have a problem with the U.S. crop or you don't have as much of it, there's only one place to make up the difference. You know, that's down in Brazil and Argentina for the most part. You know, with corn, it's different. Like, you can have – or wheat. You know, you can have problems with the U.S. crop, you know, and, you know, in corn or wheat. And there are plenty of places around the world that can make up for production or, you know
– Sure.
You're right? So, but beans, that's not really the case. So, you know, you can make the case that, you know, given production for new crop, let's say we have 600, you know, million, you know, carryout or something like that, you know, beans should be at $8 or high sevens at, you know, at harvest. But the thing is, like, if we lose those beans or we don't get enough acres in or the yield's poor, you know, that could really bring down the projected ending stocks pretty fast. You know, you lose 100 or 200 million, you know, beans, bushels of beans, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about $10 beans. So it deserves the risk premium that it's getting. And what's going to happen here is just be volatile. You know, if we get all the beans that we think we will, you know, we'll probably be a dollar lower from here at harvest. You know, if not, you know, if we have less acres and yields aren't as great this summer, we could be a dollar higher. Beans are just that kind of commodity.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at where we trading just for the month. So this is just going back to April 1st, and we were 868 going into the end of February. We're trading 913 right now. We're through that 200-day moving average, which sits right around $9. Mm-hmm. The last time we were above these levels was that mid-July rally last year. So, you know, difficult times, you know, to make sales on these. It's always a pressing decision. you know, I'm always apt to be patient on some of this stuff. I think soybeans have, you know, that the biggest wild card there. I think corn, you're going to have a hard time selling me on 450 plus corn. I just don't see it longer term. Can you sell me on $10 soybeans? Yeah, absolutely. If we would see China come in and say they're buying more, you know, that's something else to watch for, Craig. At the end of, I think it's the end of, or the April 1st day is when China comes out with their price supports, and they'll come out with some information on whether they're looking to sell their commodities at for next year. So they don't use the markets like we do. They just simply tell the market what they're paying, and I think April 1st is that day. So keep your ears open. This that end of the March time period to you know, the first couple of days in April might provide for some fireworks. Throw in a weather rally or two, you might be looking at something that is meaningful. So you know, Craig and I'll try to keep your ears and eyes on everything as we go forward here into the end of the month.
Yeah, I know personally I'm looking for 925 as the first level, sure, where I really think there's going to be a lot of resistance. And to get through that, something's going to have to happen. You know, something's not going to have to really happen with, you know, there's a planting intentions miss, like huge exports coming in that keeps the market off guard. And then, you know, then we can start talking about 940, 950. But sure, to get above, you know, usually to get through that kind of a significant level, something has to happen, like, you know, mm-hmm, kind of out of the norm, with real significance. But, you know, sure, it certainly could happen.
From what I hear, 913 might get it done, depending on what your basis is, of course, as far as profitability goes. Mm-hmm. You know, you start getting more pushes there. I think the corn farmer, well, hard to say what folks have been doing the last couple of weeks, but I don't think they're that prepared to switch over. So,
right.
Well, I think both sides, you know, just because the market's been in this story, you and I mean, we're kind of lulled to sleep. Craig and I got into this business. The 20-cent move was a daily, weekly occurrence. Basically, now we're, you know, it's taken us from Christmas to basically move the front month from 950 to from 350 to 370. So,
right,
you know, the markets are a little different right now. They feel like they're lulling us to sleep. But at the same time, for somebody who manages risk for a living and looks at this stuff, hard argument to be made for corn to be plus $4 in the cash,
right,
unless this dollar would continue to slide. I don't know, you seen anything there on the dollar? You got anything?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar, you know, we've basically, the Fed said they're gonna, you know, we were, when they first made that first interest rate hike, they were talking about four interest rate hikes over the course of the year, with mm-hmm, number one being back in, like, say, December. But now it looks like we're going to probably only have one additional one. That's what a lot of the market's thinking. So the dollar is a little bit weaker. The problem is that, you know, the United States dollar and the United States economy still is relatively, you know, looks pretty good compared to other currencies, right, and other economies. So even though the dollar, I don't think the old case of like, well, the dollar is going to keep on charging higher and higher and keep on putting pressure on grain prices and commodity prices, I don't buy that so much, you know, as we used to based on, mm-hmm, you know, what was going on in the markets. I think now, sure, it's going to be channeling, you know, where we'll have, you know, depending on what's going on with Europe and with Asia, you know, it'll be more range bound. We'll be talking more about ranges, and, you know, the dollar index going over 100 again, I don't know, that seems kind of far fetched. I mean, I know 90 to 100 is a wide range in currencies, but it's hard to see us go back below 90 in the dollar index, only because of what's going on in Japan and Europe right now.
Sure.
And it's hard, very hard to make an argument to go above 100 because the Fed is now being more dovish than they were. So it just,
sure,
so I actually think that's pretty good for grains, mm-hmm, just because it was taking such a beating from the dollar. At least it won't be a headwind anymore. It might just stay constant or in this range.
Sure. And you know, the main market I think both of us will watch is wheat there. Mm-hmm. If we can get wheat out of the doldrums, you know, maybe you have a corn rally on your hands. The problem with wheat right now is, you know, it's selling for $3.80 in Europe. So when you,
yeah,
break down the per metric ton costs and, you know, just how much it takes to get it out of the country there, it's so cheap that I have a hard time believing you're going to see U.S. wheat demand come back into vogue, although you never know with what happens with world supply. That said, you know, short covering could happen, but still feel, Craig and I would imagine your agreement here that the wheat market's a seller's rally, or rally, yeah, rally to be sold rather than be bought.
I'll tell you what my – I'll sum up wheat for you, what my thoughts are on. This weekend, we had some freezing temperatures out in the plains.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
And I came in this morning expecting wheat to be 10, 15 higher. Mm-hmm. And we were at one point. And then we closed – we had a wheat close. And we were up a few cents on the day, I think, in wheat. But, if you have a big short position and then you get freeze concerns over the weekend and you can barely hold the rally right. from the day to stay positive, that just tells me there is a lot of wheat out there. And it's cheaper in other, and it's cheaper in other places yep. down the world, and we're not competitive. And you're right. You just said it's a seller's rally, and I think that's what we saw today. If it wasn't a seller's rally, then we should have been up 20 or 25.
Right. Yeah, and we gapped open on the open. I thought maybe we would have a little chaos last night, but just tough to get any traction here when the physical supply is so cheap elsewhere. And
yeah.
I think that's something to keep in mind with corn. Argentinian offers are expected to fall into late summer as they, move into next year's crop planning. So, unfortunately for the farmers who listen to this, I wish we had a lot of much better news. I think beans are where you'd look first. If we can get the beans to push above, 920, 930, maybe you see the corn follow. But the report next week is probably going to show some supply, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do think so. I think you're right. The beans are a rising tide lifts all boats. If beans mm-hmm. do catch a rally, wheat and corn won't go up as much, but at least it'll get dragged, screaming and kicking sure. higher a little bit. I think you're right. The stocks are going to show a lot of grain, and I think the planting intentions are still going to show. Even if they reduce the acres a little bit, let's say we're 89 corn and 83 beans or something like that, it's still going to be a ton of production, forecasted mm-hmm. out there. So, yep. We're not unless we get some real surprise on the stocks, where because you can see disappearance. You can see right. more use for feed than the – because when they're – just so everyone knows, when the USDA does these stock numbers, we know what's used for ethanol because that's reported. And mm-hmm. we know what's used for exports because that's reported. The one thing you really don't know what's being used for is feed. And, mm-hmm. That's where the – so that's why when you get these – quarterly reports on the stocks, when the market's off, it's because they didn't get the feed number right. And sometimes they can be way off. It hasn't happened in a while, but that would be where your bullish or bearish surprise would typically come in.
Right. And that was a great transition there because we're going. Before we wrap it up, let's talk a little cattle. if you're looking for supportive price action, we've got more cattle on feed. Now we're at a three-year high as far as supplies. Now, like I said on a radio show earlier, it depends on the window you're looking at. The last 3 years, we've got a quote-unquote record high supply. You look over the last 30, we've got a record low. So.
Right.
The fact of the matter is there is more head around, and you got to think that if the cattle are up, I would think that there's probably more pigs around and more chickens as well. Mm-hmm. So consumption there for feed should be pretty steady.
Mm-hmm.
Cattle on feed, a little confusing for a lot of guys like me. I thought it was a lot more bearish, I guess, but when I read into it, it didn't scream bearish, although the prices today were certainly reflective of that.
I want to say that report was neutral to bearish based on expectations.
Right.
But here's the deal, too. And this happens sometimes in the grain markets, too. It happened with soybeans a few years ago. Basically, the cash market has been very tight for cattle. And when guys need to come in and actually buy cattle, they've been kind of held for ransom a little bit and having to pay a probably higher price than they wanted to. As the cash prices have gone higher, you've really seen the front months go a lot higher too, leaving the back months behind. And the market has been very focused on what's going on in cash, and that's been leading the market higher. Now, on the other side of the analyst side, everyone was expecting a bearish figure in the cattle on feed, and it came in pretty much as expected. So why the big sell-off on Friday and then the sell-off today? I think what is happening is, on the left-hand side here, you're looking at the tight cash and you're buying cattle because the cash prices keep on going high. And then someone reminds you, say, oh, man, look how bearish these numbers are getting going forward. Maybe not the situation isn't that bearish right this second, but the writing's on the wall. And I think that, we ran into a big moving average. We ran into a big, big trend line, support right. line in yep. April cattle, right around 142, and that failed. And then you look at what's coming down the road. The futures market sometimes has a strange way of, one, paying attention to the cash, but then also being a proxy for not what prices are right now, but what they should be in the future,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's the futures market. And I think sure. that's what we saw. I think that's what, that is the yin and the yang of the – of the market. And we saw that 2 years ago with soybeans, you know, when soybeans were trading so high because cash was so tight. And then the new crop projections came out and people were like, whoa, we're going from 150 million bushel carryout to 300 million bushel carryout. Well, the cash prices might be tight in June, but, you know, come October,
sure,
there's going to be no shortage. And, you know, and we saw the same kind of reaction where there's this, you know, are we going to pay attention to the tight cash today, or are we going to pay attention to what's coming later in the year? And that's what's going on in the cattle, in my opinion.
Yeah. Cattle in the stock market being very correlated. We've got pushes there too, so maybe catching some macro headwinds or tailwinds as it rallied. Mm-hmm. But look forward to digest the report this week and probably get back to the more physical cash trading as we get into April. Mm-hmm. So coming on the pipeline, the reports you really want to watch out for, obviously grain stocks, planted acres on the 30th, the Chinese planting intentions, kind of planning for prices. Expect to hear some news on that around April 1st. And really, this week, very slow. I know, Craig, you see anything before everybody kind of goes on spring?
It's a holiday-shortened week, right? So we're off Friday for Good Friday, and, you know, usually when that happens, it seems like half the trade is gone for Thursday because everyone's, you know, the volume right. all dries up. So really, what do you have? You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for any kind of trading volume to happen, and we're already done with Monday. So it's going to be a slow week. Now that it looks like cattle has traded its number now, I'm going to be surprised if cattle is anything that goes on in the cash market, usually with these mm-hmm. holiday shortened weeks.
Sure.
And also consider the cattle market. Most of the cash trade gets done at the end of the week, you know, Thursday, Friday, or even sometimes on Saturday and the weekends. I don't know if anyone's going to be conducting business on Good Friday or Easter Saturday. So yeah. I'm not expecting much from the cattle markets for the rest of the week. The grains, again, unless something happens, you know, with some shocking export number or something like that, or something happens down south. I think it's going to be quiet for the rest of the week, and then we pick things up after Easter.
Well, Craig and I will do that. Next week, Craig is out of the office, so this will be quiet, but expect to hear from us right around the stocks report or that Monday after. So if you have any questions, give us a call here at the desk, Daniels Trading, or check us out online at danielstrading.com. For Craig Turner, this is John Payne for Inside Commodity Futures. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Have a great week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.